I'm Jamie Buchanan, one of the pastors here, as I'm unfurling a cord. Welcome. If you want to get up and grab a Bible, we're going to start off doing things a little different this morning. It's okay to be different. God made me. Okay, I see it. See, I make somebody laugh and be alive out there. Feel free to grab coffee, bagels. There's Bibles on the back. We are going to focus in and look at, as we celebrate, we celebrate communion on the first Sundays of the month here at Antioch. And as we take communion, I don't know about if you understand communion like I do, I know that sometimes it can be just something that we do at the first time of the month that isn't really something where we're focused on Christ or family or things together. And I pray that today that wouldn't happen. I pray that today we'll be able to look at God's word and then and take communion and worship and read scripture and share with one another and honor and glorify God and be connected with each other and deal with our sin and all those things. I'm praying that that would happen. So let me pray for that, and then we'll dive into some scripture together. God, I do pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Speak to my heart as you have been through this, and even as we read scripture and study and hear from it and see an object lesson and just different things like that, God, we want to be transformed. We want to honor and glorify you. We want to realize, make us realize with our lives that apart from you, we can do nothing. That apart from you, we can do nothing when it comes to kingdom and eternal values. Burn that into our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 15 is where we'll be. We're going to read through that, and I want to talk to you about stuff. As I mentioned already, there are going to be people for prayer. As we're taking communion, as we're singing, as you're listening to the Holy Spirit, we value community. It's our middle name here at Antioch, Antioch Community Church. We value that. And as we value community, we're wanting us to be a family together, and that means sharing one another's burdens and praying for one another as we take communion. So the Millers and the Mocks will be available there. Go and talk to them and ask a prayer, share something. We want to be able to do that. Well, I mentioned community and got to thinking about when we have communion, we have community as our middle name of our church. We've heard of people that live in a commune, and we are told when we have communion, we commune with God. Now, I didn't do a lot of research for any English majors in the audience. I know that, okay, I didn't do a lot of research in comparing them, but I did notice that in amongst all of those things, there's a relationship and a unity factor and a family factor that applies with that. And as we think of our relationship with each other, but then our relationship with Christ, let's think about that as we look at this scripture and talk about it together. Read with me John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for... And this is the phrase that I'm wanting us to dwell on this morning. So prayerfully read this with me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified, in that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Now, in the order to for us to really be, I'm only going to touch on just a few points of this, and there's a lot of great stuff in this passage that we could. You probably heard great messages and sermons and in Bible class or things like that, but I really want us to think about that phrase: apart from me, apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. And the nothing part is anything of eternal and kingdom values, anything of bearing fruit, okay, anything like that, that's the things that we can't do. Let's do a refresher. If you want to take notes, you can. In this scripture, who is the vine? The vine is Jesus Christ. In this scripture, there's the vine dresser or the gardener. That is God. In the passage, there are branches that bear fruit. Those are followers of Jesus Christ, or people that have trusted Christ and follow him, or believers, or whatever term you use. That's who are the branches that bear fruit. The branches that do not bear fruit are people that are separate from God. He also uses a word in there called pruning. Now, most of you know that I'm into gardening and stuff, and I could go off and do many illustrations about pruning and trees and stuff like that, but for lack of time, we're not going to do that. So work with me. Does everybody understand and know what the word to prune something means? Yep. Okay. So pruning is something that happens in this verse, and what it is, it's God driving out, taking away, removing pieces of our lives that are sinful or hindering us in growing fruit and honoring him, and he cuts it away, and it's painful, it hurts, but yet there's an end to that, and the end is to love him, bring him honor and glory, and to bear fruit. And then what is the fruit? Well, the fruit is actually, and turn to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit is the fruits of the Spirit. As we bear fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. And then if you look in Galatians 5, and you look at verses 17 through 21, you're going to find an illustration of what I call anti-fruit, or lack of fruit. Fruit comes from us following the Holy Spirit. These anti-fruits or lack of fruit come from us following our flesh. And what are they? In 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit against the flesh, for they are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing things that you do not want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, and here are those things: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. As I warned you, and as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit that is born out of a person that's a follower of Christ, connected to the vine, are things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in the scripture. And so as we think about that, you're like, well, Jamie, I've heard this. I understand it. What are you really wanting to communicate here? What do we really want to see? Well, I want to point you back to, if you have a bulletin, that one phrase, apart from me, you can do nothing. And as you think about that, I want to do a little object lesson. I've been a youth pastor for 16 years and came down and is a church planter now, but I still bring parts of my youth ministry with me in many different ways, shapes, and forms. And when I saw this, can everybody see this okay? When I saw this object lesson, I'm a visual person. I learn that way. I worship that way. I'm drawn nearer to God. I'm convicted of sin and challenged by object lessons and people really explaining things. And this was one that really stood out to me as an object lesson for this passage. I'm going to need some volunteers. And don't worry, you won't do anything embarrassing. Colin, come on up here. I don't look for hands. I just grab people. Hannah, come on up. Take a cup. Don't drink the water, though, because I need to use it. Brett, come on up. Danny, you stay there. You haven't seen Mick in a while. Haley, come on up. Okay. The illustration goes as this. We'll say we are all represented by the cup that I hold in my hand here. All of these people represent people in our lives, friends, family, people that don't know Christ, co-workers, people around us. They also represent the power and the strength to be able to kill sin through the Holy Spirit, to say no and to resist temptation and to confess sin. They also represent the fruits of the Spirit, okay? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, okay? And so a lot of times we think, okay, guys, go ahead and put your cup underneath mine as they represent these things. This represents us. A lot of times we think, oh, well, I heard a good sermon, listened to one. That was a great preaching time. Had a good jam session of worship. And this week I read scripture on Monday, and man, that was good. And we call the abiding and remaining, which to abide and remain actually means to build your dwelling on. To build your dwelling on. We call that this abiding and remaining. And then we've got people that need to hear about the gospel, we need to share Christ with. We have sins that we're dealing with. We have others that are down and out, and we need to represent Christ here at work, and we're empty. Have you ever felt empty or spiritually dry or weak or tired or frustrated as a follower of Christ? There are many reasons why we're like that, but one of those reasons is because we're looking at abiding in Christ as little snippets and samples of God things. This is how abiding in Christ should be. A continual relationship with God means that during work, I'm working, but I'm also thinking about others. I'm praying without ceasing. I'm getting water on Hannah. And I'm reading scripture throughout the week. I'm meditating on it. We're talking about it. I'm dealing with sin. I'm confessing sin. I'm seeing God in however worship in nature. I'm doing these things, and I'm realizing that my time, do you see what's happening? I'm not just pouring out into other people and other areas. My life's overflowing with what God is doing because I'm following the Holy Spirit. Okay, you can put those down. Great, thank you. Sorry I got you wet, Hannah. It's okay, though, isn't it? Okay. One of the things that I'm trying to discover is how God has made me this extroverted, ADD struggling person. How do I abide in Christ? Because I think that abiding in Christ is something that I've been brought up under the umbrella. It is a good quiet time and devotional every morning. Going to church, going to Bible study and prayer group, and leaving it at that. That's what I have grown up thinking, that abiding or remaining in Christ is that alone. Are those things wrong? No. They're a part of that. And one of the things that I'm trying to do is saying, okay, God, first of all, God wants me to be dependent on him. And I think he doesn't give me an answer to that, because if he gave me an answer, I wouldn't be dependent on him or asking him for those things. And so he does a good job of keeping me honed in and focused on what he wants, because I don't know. And I'm searching those things. We're looking for it in our guys group, as we have guys group together and we talk about this. What does this look like? We talked about it this morning while we were folding bulletins, which is really cool. But it's that, apart from understanding that apart from Christ, we can do nothing, what does that look like? What does abiding or remaining, dwelling in Christ look like for us? What does it look like for us in our lives? And so, as we move into communion and worship, I would like for us to, in our hearts and our minds, to really consider this scripture, to think about how we maybe are living apart from Christ, how we're not bearing fruit, or we're bearing that opposite fruit. What does it look like when we celebrate communion? Can this be a day that we celebrate communion and look at scripture and say, you know what? I need to go home or back into life, and this needs to change because I'm not abiding in Christ. And we talked about this morning, maybe there are certain areas or compartments or times or things like that. But I know that in this room there are people that are tired and weak. I know that in this room there are people that are confused. They're confused on what an abiding, loving relationship with Christ looks like, and how do I grow in spiritual maturity. There are people in this room along with myself that struggle with selfishness, struggle with discontentment, struggle with balancing out life when it comes to being able to recreate and have fun and enjoy ourselves, and also realize that we're working too in the kingdom. So I want to pray, and then we're going to move into communion. But let me explain a little bit. Communion, we have back here on these two tables bread and grape juice. The bread represents the body of Christ that we were told in Scripture that we eat that bread or that cracker or whatever you do, and you eat it and you remember what Jesus has done in a spirit of thanksgiving for what Jesus has done on the cross, his suffering, his pain. You think about those things, and it's a time of worship together as a family as we do that. And then you take the cup, which is grape juice, and you look at that, and the grape juice is symbolizes the blood of Jesus. And it's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins, that was shed on the cross, that he died on the cross, shed his blood, and it's only his blood that cleanses us from our sins. We're going to be singing songs and reflecting on other parts of Scripture with this. When you take communion, you go up when you're ready, and you take communion either as a family or with people. I encourage you maybe get together with some people and do it and share and pray together. Communion isn't just for people of Antioch. It's for the church, meaning are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Come and share communion. And do that with us. We'll be singing. We'll be reading scripture. There'll be people back here for prayer. I know that this is short, but I'm asking that you listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to Scripture, and allow God to make a change and transform you. So let me pray. Lord, your word is powerful and strong, and I pray that whatever part of that, how that is spoken to us, God, we're going to be obedient and listen to you. I know that, honestly, in the last couple of days, it just seems like it's been abiding or remaining in Christ has been just a struggle for me. And so we as followers and we as people that are asking questions need to understand that more. And so I just pray for our hearts and our minds to be open to you, Holy Spirit, and what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen.